All the sixth graders and down coming on the front row. You know, it's really cool to see this because I remember when I interned here not that long ago, me and Justin, we had this conversation. We said we really need to get this youth going. We really need to get this youth thriving. And we started tossing out all these ideas. Most of these were in the car sitting in the office. We started coming up with all these ideas of how can we get these youth involved in our church, and to see where this has become now and to see how many youth is sitting up here, it's so powerful, and I'm so thankful for that and the leadership of Brother Justin and the things that y'all allow him to do and that y'all do as a church. It's beautiful to see that the youth that we're reaching through this. And so I just wanted to say that, I mean, seeing it's just wonderful, and it's just seeing God work through things that he can accomplish through just little ideas that get tossed around sometimes and seeing what God has done. It's so beautiful, and I just had that on my heart, and I really wanted to share that this morning. But anyways, y'all, it's Christmas time. Y'all are all excited? Yay! I'm so pumped. Listen, I at my home, November 1st starts Christmas, okay? November 27th is the end of the first session of Christmas. And then you have the 28th, which is Thanksgiving, and as a picky eater, I skip that holiday. And then right after that, all the way through January 6th continues Christmas, and I love it so much. I'm taking home my Christmas decorations, and tomorrow I'll probably decorate for Christmas. I'm so excited, and have a Christmas party at my house for my work, and yeah, I love Christmas. And you know what's powerful about Christmas is this idea of giving. Who loves giving? Y'all love giving to people? Yeah. What's I need someone to give me a favorite gift that you've given to someone. Yes, ma'am. A picture? Yes, ma'am.
I like see the bees and
little keychains. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I want a keychain. Yes, ma'am.
A gift would be probably the love of God.
The love of God. Wow, that, I mean, amen to that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A toy? Yeah, wonderful. Now let me ask an easier question. What's a favorite gift that you've received? Yeah, I figured this would happen. What do we got?
My 110 dirt bike.
Your 110 dirt bike. I love dirt bikes. Grew up riding dirt bikes. Yes, ma'am. Shelby.
A warrior cat's book.
A warrior cat's book. Cat's book. I love cats. I have a cat, and I love him. He's so much fun. Yes, ma'am.
A pet dog.
A pet dog? Is it a little dog or one of those big dogs?
A little dog.
Okay, good. I like little dogs. Big dogs, they jump on you. I don't like them. Yes, sir.
RC.
What? RCs? RC cars? That's so much fun. Man, I want to tell you about this idea of gift and giving. That's kind of this holiday of Thanksgiving, of Christmas. You know, Thanksgiving, we give thanks, and Christmas, we give to others, and we receive. But, you know, when we give to others, there's a sacrifice in that, right? When we give to others, you know, we spend our own money or you know, there's some sort of sacrifice to giving someone. And I want to talk to y'all about an idea of a sacrifice. Have y'all ever heard of Abraham? Do y'all know who Abraham is?
Yeah.
Tell me a little something about Abraham. Do you need to think about it?
He has a son named Isaac.
Yeah, he has a son named Isaac. That's perfect. I thought this was going to take me like many tries to get, but you nailed it. If you will go ahead and pull up that verse in Genesis for me, Genesis 22, verse 2 says, "Then he said, take now your son, not only your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Can you believe that? You know, God told Abraham, "I need you to go sacrifice your own son." Does that sound familiar? When God told his son, "I need you to go, and you're going to be a sacrifice for the world."
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible? And later on in the story, I'm gonna spoil this story for y'all. At the end of Abraham, he doesn't end up sacrificing his son. You know, God replaces him with a lamb. But what's important in that, what God was trying to get Abraham to know is he needed his sacrifice of his son. That's a true sacrifice. Giving something up like your son. That's like your parents giving y'all up. You know, that's a sacrifice. I mean, that's a loving sacrifice. And he was all for it. Abraham said, okay, God, you're in control. I will sacrifice my son. Abraham knew that God was in control the whole time. And God replaced it with this lamb. And he said, okay, Abraham, I have your trust. I have your love. That's all I need. And so as y'all get ready to go to y'all's classes, I want to encourage y'all to think about what God puts in y'all's life and what things y'all can sacrifice for God. It's incredible. I mean, the greatest sacrifice of all, he sent his only son to die on the cross. So that way you can have the blood of Jesus Christ in your heart. I want to encourage y'all. And actually, after services, if I'm around, if you see me, I want you to come and tell me something that God has done for you. Okay, can y'all do that for me? All righty. Y'all can go ahead and dismiss, and I pray y'all have a good class. Yes, ma'am. The real meaning of Christmas is Jesus' birthday. That's right. That's right. Love it. What's up?
I have a gray and white shirt, too.
You have a gray and white shirt, too? High five. That's what I'm talking about. Boom. Boom. All right, y'all have fun in class. So, no, you keep that. That's yours. Oh, but thank you, buddy. See, that's sacrifice. That's giving up something right there. Amen. Oh, man, that was a lot easier than I thought that was going to be. Well, this morning, as I hinted at this detail of sacrifice, it brings up to what I want to discuss this morning of what is biblical sacrifice. We're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 24 at the end in verses 18 through the end. And y'all can go ahead and flip there. But for a second, I do want to talk about New Orleans and this Bible, the Bible Project. I'm going to put this in this one in New Orleans is very important. When you look at a demographic of the most states in America that need the Word of God, New Orleans, just Louisiana in general is at the top. And isn't that crazy? I mean, it's right next to Texas and Arkansas, right on the Bible Belt, but they don't have many Christians. And so that's important. I really want y'all to pray over this city as they began to do that, and just pray over these lost souls that they'll be able to reach. I mean, when I first found that out, that was so fascinating to me, to think that a state so close, like New Orleans, is one of the top places that don't have many Christians. And in fact, a lot of them are Catholic. And so anyways, just pray over them and pray other people that God is going to call to go with them in this amazing ministry of reaching people. And so just keep them in your prayers as they begin that. And pray for Louisiana and New Orleans as they will be open and receive the Word of God as they begin to share that. And my life's been crazy. I mean, me and Hugh, as far as I know, we've been having fun. And we decided to get a cat. His name's Rex, and little bitty thing. And he's so much fun, but he also is just at times. He's finally learned that he can jump on the countertop, and that's been a nightmare. I've had stuff left out on the countertops, and I would wake up in the morning and it's moved, and I'm like, what the heck? Is this place haunted? Like, what is going on? And finally, I was vacuuming, getting ready for a missionary to come stay at our house, and I was vacuuming, and Rex hates this vacuum cleaner. It's his enemy. And I saw him dart and jump on the countertops, and I figured that out. So just continue to pray for us as we have, you know, we've been having fun together, but we continue to hold each other accountable for the Word of God and continue to grow and learn with each other. It's been so much of a blast. And I also mentioned I have a missionary staying at my house. He arrived yesterday. His name's Brother Brandon Rutherford. He has the Ride for God ministry, the skateboard ministry. And if you know anything about me, you may know, you may have heard some things in the air about New York City. And me and Justin are getting stuff prepared for that to go at the end of November. And I remember I got a phone call from Chase Reynolds. And he called me one day. My phone was being blown up all day from all these Facebook messages. I haven't opened them yet, but Brother Chase Reynolds called me. And he said, Brother, I'm getting ready for MTM. And I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford it. And he said, no, you got to meet somebody. I need you to meet somebody. And I said, okay. My phone's been blowing up over messages of Brother Brandon and his desire for New York City as well. And so I got to meet him in Arkansas not too long ago at MTM, and man, we clicked. He's here in Texas all November on his deputation, getting ready to take a 3-month survey trip. He's got to raise about $25,000. He's already almost halfway. He's already over halfway there. I mean, God has worked with him tremendously, and so we're going to be able to spend the rest of the month together, discussing some New York things, discussing just, getting closer and opening the field to whatever God has in store for us. We both agree that God has something special for both of us, for something together, but options are open. And so to be able to spend that time together, I'm very thankful for. I'm very thankful for him, and it's just exciting. I mean, New York City was scary in itself, and I thought, we were going to be some of the only ones down there, and to meet him and to hear his desire for New York City was spot on with mine. I mean, it's been such a blessing to have, and a very reassurance that, New York City is it's God confirming New York City for me through him. But anyways, that's just me yapping. So this idea of biblical sacrifice here in 2 Samuel 24, 18 through 25. First, I want us to look at this definition of worship. We get so caught up that worship is singing in church, singing in the car. And yes, that is worship. But the online definition, when I Googled it this morning, it says worship is when we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and act accordingly. Worship is not just singing, but it's a way of life. That we can sing all we want, but if we don't act accordingly, if we don't apply it, we're not worshiping. We're not worshiping. And that's going to tie in here a little later. If you would, please stand with me as we read God's word together here in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 18 through the end. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 18, it says, And Gad came that day to David and said to him, go up, erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunna, the Jebusite. So David, according to the word of Gad, went up to the Lord, went up as the Lord commanded. Now Arunna looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So Arunna went out and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Then Arunna said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. Now Arunna said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing implements, and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All these, O king, Arunna has given to the king. And Arunna said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. Then the king said to Arunna, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded and prayers for the land, and the plague has withdrawn from Israel. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Let's go to the word. Let's go to prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you just so grateful, so blessed for your love and your mercy that you pour upon us each and every single day, Lord. I thank you so much for Alva Missionary Baptist Church and the things that you continue to do in this church, Lord. I thank you for the youth and the growth that this church has in your name and following your will, Lord. I just ask that you be with this message this morning, that you give me the words and the wisdom that you need these people to hear, Lord. I thank you. Thank you so much, Lord. I just pray for the lost, that at some point in time a Christian will come across them and lead them to you, so that we can furthermore expand your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 24, we see David and his interaction with one of his people. And I look at this verse, and my family can attest to this. I always say, I feel like I say this all the time, but this is really one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I mean, just the way that David's character was here, in this passage, as we begin to break this down, is just so honoring. And I just want to strive to be that way. And it's beautiful. And to see, you know, God working through David and David's life, through before his story and after his story with King David. And God works. And that leads me to say this. I've had a heart to say this morning. I just had this conversation this morning. If you're here this morning and you aren't so sure about this God thing, about who Jesus is, I want you to go right out there and I want you to stand in that parking lot. And you'll see three buildings. Three buildings that this church once was, and each get bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, you can physically see God work through Alva Missionary Baptist Church by just standing in that parking lot. And it's so powerful to me because we get so caught up in today's world that sometimes it is hard to see if God's working in our lives. And me personally, you know, when I think about New York City, doubts come across and it's like, are you sure? But then I get signs like Brandon, and I get other signs that say God, that says, you know, this is what God has for me. And it's just so powerful to look out there and to see, you know, the history of this church and what this church has done to Alvin, just as a city and this county and to Texas in general. It's so powerful, and I want y'all to be proud of this church, and y'all are a part of that. Y'all are a part of the growth of this church, and I want y'all to know that. Anyways, right here in verse 18, 2 Samuel 24, verse 18, God orders David to go set up an altar. So that way this plague would end, this plague would stop. And his response is very interesting in verse 19. He says, okay, I'll do it. It's very fascinating to me because I bet we can count on our hand how many times we've said okay the first time to God. I think of Jonah. When God says, Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh. I need you to go preach to these people. And Nineveh went Jonah went the opposite direction. That's like us. We are like Jonah. But I think of what we just listened to about Abraham, where Abraham just said, okay. Abraham went through some ups and downs with his relationship with God, but at that point he said, okay. And so the power of this verse right here, so David, according to the word of God, went up as the Lord commanded. He just did it. He just went. I mean, we talk about this idea of biblical sacrifice. We see this already. I mean, when someone comes up to me and asks me to do something, I go through some scenarios and think of some things before I just agree to it. Sometimes I haven't, and that's gotten me in a pickle. And so right here, when David just says, you know, the Lord has called me to that, okay. And it's powerful, and you begin to see this who David is and his character and his relationship towards God and this verse alone, and to see that he is willing just to, whatever happens, happens. He's willing to give up whatever he's got in his life to just say, okay. You know, when God says, you know, Jason, I need you to do this. Well, what about this? Well, what about this? What about this? Or when God tells you, I need you to go do this, and you say, well, actually, I've got this thing I got to attend to, or I've got this over here. Let me put that on the side for now. I'll get to it, but just my time. But no, David says, okay. He says, okay. And in verses 19 through 23, what's important about these verses is you see the relationship between a king and a servant. We see this metaphor used of a king and a servant between Arunah and David. When David goes to him and he says, I need these things from you. And Arunah says, here, just have it. Just take it. Just have it. You're my king. It's yours. That relationship between a king and a servant could be a sermon in itself. We to our king, we need to just say, here, take a life. Just have my life. Just take it. Do what you want with it. And that's what's happening in this passage. Aruna said, just take it. Do what you need to do with it. We don't have that relationship like that with our King. It's, hang on, that's not right. That can't be right. No, let me go this direction. Let me do this. I've got this to do. I've got this thing to do. I've got plenty of other things to do. I don't need to be doing that. But you just got to say okay and just give it up and just allow God to take control. And just like this, you know, I'm sure this would have put Aruna in such a situation, just giving all this material to David. But he just said, here you go. Just take it. Do what you need to do with it. And that's powerful in itself. I mean, I would like to see you go to Lowe's and go ask for all this stuff, and we'll see what their response is. Your bill will be $1,500 and somewhat dollars versus here. Yeah, you just take it. Just have it. We need to look at this seriously. We need to take a step back and look at this relationship, because we do have a King. And if we have a King, that means we're a servant. And look at this relationship. Look at this picture of this relationship. Take this in account and look at your relationship between you and Jesus Christ. Are you willing just to say, okay, just take whatever you need? Or when God asks you for something, that'll be $12.99. Or that'll, if you get this, I need this in return. Or if you're going to have this, then I need this in my life. That's not what this is like here. And in verse 24, David refused this offer. He says, I will pay full price for everything. And in fact, he says, I will not offer to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. This idea of biblical sacrifice. He says, I'm not going to give God anything that isn't going to affect me. I'm not going to give God anything that is not going to have anything to do with me. If he would have just taken the free stuff, David would have, you know, just kept going. There wouldn't have been anything involved in that. We talked about worship is a way of life, that it's a heartful meaning. And David knew that. And so he said, no, I'm not going to give my God my spare time, the extra change in my life, the bits and pieces that I want to give him to. No, he says, I will not give him anything that that doesn't have sacrifice. I will not give him something that's not going to cost me anything. You know, giving Jesus Christ my life has cost me living in Friendswood. Now I live in some small town of Henderson, Texas, where there's nothing to do, nothing to see. Nowhere to go. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's nuts. I mean, if you need to go anywhere, you drive 45 minutes and sit in traffic for 12 hours in Tyler, or you can go to Longview, which still isn't that great, or you go to Dallas, which is a 2.5-hour drive. It's your choice. And so if y'all ever come visit, you bring something to do, because we're not going anywhere to do anything. And so, who are we to give God our spare time? Who are we to give God just whatever extra we have in our day? Where's heart in that? God sent his Son. There was heart in that. There was some serious heart in that. Jesus hurt. Jesus was tortured. I mean, even Jesus, that sounds like sacrifice to me. His blood was shed. He died. But I mean, as we know, 3 days later, he rose again. And so this idea of sacrifice, when we give Jesus our time, is it going to affect us? Or do we just give him, you know, the 5-minute prayer and fall asleep in the middle of the prayer every night because we're so tired? Do we give him that attention? Do we give him that need? Do we give him that desire? That's going to affect us. There's a heart in that. You know, when and it all involves fear. And as we know, fear is not of God. But we fear to give up time because we feel like there's not enough time in the day. And sometimes we fear maybe to tithe because, you know, maybe money situation's not great. Or we need to buy that new thing, and so maybe we'll hold off tithe that month. This month, there's no sacrifice there. There's no faith. Replace sacrifice with faith, biblical faith. When you give God your spare time, where's the faith when you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Where was that faith? Where was that sacrifice when you said, Lord, no matter what this world says, I need you to come into my heart to save my life. Where was that sacrifice? And if you haven't, if you're in this room and you haven't come to that spot in your life where you've said, Jesus, I need you to come in my life, that'll be the biggest sacrifice you ever make, but it'll also be the best decision you'll ever make in your life. And because there's heart. And that's what matters. What matters is when we talk about worship is the heart and actively accomplishing it. There's no heart when we say we're Christians and go live like the rest of the world. There's no heart when we have Jesus come in our life and there's no change mentally, physically, in our lives. When people can't tell, when there's no change, there's no heart. And the heart is what God wants. Because when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He doesn't come in your feet. He comes to your heart. He wants your heart. And when He has your heart just keeps you alive. And so when He doesn't have your heart, you're not living for Him. But when He has your heart, you are living through Jesus Christ. And that's what we've got to look at. And we've got to say, where are we at in our sacrifices to Jesus Christ? Are we just giving Him our spare time after He sent His Son to die on the cross for me? Are we giving Him the spare change, the quarters that all these restaurants give me? Leftover that I have, are we giving Him that when He sent our Son, when He sent His Son to die on the cross for us? That doesn't seem like a fair trade. All He wants is for you to just give Him something that matters to you. If it is time, wake up an hour early. If it is money, listen, you just got to trust God on that money situation, man. It's been rough in Henderson. Oh my goodness. But I can think of when I was with Lifeline Baptist Church, and I love them so much. It was fantastic working with them. I will never forget any of the moments I've had there. There was one in particular. We were at MTM in Arlington, Texas. We were staying at Lifeline, and we just got done with our Faith Promise Missions Conference. And I was getting ready to fly out to Baltimore, and I had to pay for new tires. I had to get my car inspected. I had to do all these things on my car, and I did not have the money for it. I was getting paid, $50 a week, which I didn't mind, but I was having to drive to Dallas there and back. It was every now and then. So I was paying to go to church, which isn't the point. But the point is that I was running low on money, but I was, I kept pushing. I said, the Lord will do something with it. And one day, I won't ever forget, it was during when we had the solar eclipse. It was me and Jace. We were sitting in our bedroom. And we were I woke up from a nap to a ding on my phone, and it said Lifeline Baptist Church sent you $930-something. This church that had about 12 members sent me and Jace each about $900. It paid my tires, paid my inspection, it paid the rest what I had on rent at TBI. It paid for me to be able to do some things in Baltimore. It paid for itself. Because I was able to say, okay, yes, Lord, I know it's tough. And I'm not bragging on myself because there's times where I haven't been able to tithe. Or I thought maybe I shouldn't send in my tithe this month. I don't know when the bill comes in tomorrow. If I send my tithe now, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay that off. I've had those thoughts. I've had those moments. So I'm not here to brag on myself. I'm here to show you and give you a real-life application that when we give something to God in His hearts, He's going to respect that. And He's going to give back to you when you give to Him. What about when we share the gospel? Have you shared the gospel this week with someone? I just got back from, in Henderson, Texas, they do this thing every year. It's called the Syrup Festival. they make homemade syrup and they have all these things. And my coffee shop, they had a spot where they were selling coffee there at the syrup festival. And I thought, well, let me stop by. I'll help make some coffee, but I'd really like to just talk to some people. And even in East Texas, living in the Bible Belt, y'all, they're still lost people. The amount of Bibles I was able to hand out, the amount of gospel tracts I was able to hand out, the amount of Jesus Loves You stickers that I was able to hand out, it impacted some of their lives that I may not even realize. I got to talk to some people, witness to some people, give out Bibles to kids. It was such a great time. And we got back to Sippy's, and there was a lady. They got really busy, and so I started helping them make coffee. And this lady came up to me, and she said, my son, you know, really loved that sticker. We weren't able to afford him a Bible, and the fact that you were able to give him one just brings so much love into my heart and just shows that God is with his people. And it was amazing. I mean, I gave her another one and gave her some tracts to hand out to people to return that. But when we go out and we share the gospel, it can be nerve-wracking. It can be hard. It can be, well, what are they going to think about me? Is that really going to stop you from sharing the love that you have, the love that gave you eternal life, the love that that you have gotten to be able to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ and live pain-free? Is the way that people look at you, the way that your feelings are about evangelizing, is that really going to stop you from sharing the love of God? In a second, I'm going to show you a video. It's these two men. Their name is Brandon Lake and Phil Wickham. They were on tour recently of their Summer Worship Nights tour. I mean, going on tour, you know, talking to Brandon personally, going on tour is straining. I mean, on their voices, on their bodies, mentally, they're away from their families. I mean, they're in a different state each night, and at some point in time when you do that, you even forget what state you're in. And each night, they are going and giving it all. It's mentally draining, it's physically draining, but they realize that was enough sacrifice to share the gospel with some people. If you would you play this video for me? You can stop that there. I want to look at this for a second. Right before that, Brandon, you know, he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. He shared the good news of Jesus Christ. And then he allowed time for prayer, for them to make a decision. And he told these thousands of people in this arena, he said, if you're saved, I want you to keep your hand behind your back. They had little lights for this concert, and he said, I want you to keep it behind your back. But if you made a decision to follow Jesus, if you made a decision to come back to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. Did you see how many lights lit up that room? When we get out of our comfort zone and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of the gospel takes over. I mean, thousands of hands, hundreds of hands were raised. And all Brandon did was stand on stage and say what Jesus has done. Jesus takes over. That's the point of that video, is to show that no matter what sacrifice it is, no matter what we give up, the more important thing is that Jesus will take it over and take it into his hands. And that's what he did here at the end of 2 Samuel. As God was pleased with David's sacrifice, and the plague ended. Now, what's very interesting, and I was glad we discussed Genesis chapter 2 at the very beginning, because what's interesting, that the piece of land that David bought was Mount Moriah. where Abraham once offered his son Isaac, and where Solomon would one day build the Lord's temple. And so here we are on a Sunday morning. We've looked at two different passages that discuss some sort of real sacrifice. And there's plenty more. I had plenty more prepared, but I wanted to get y'all out on time. It's important. It's important. It's important. Your biblical sacrifice, your biblical heart, your biblical faith is important to God. Because not only does it change your life, what we just saw in that video, it changed others' lives. When you give up something, it will be blessed. When David, you know, gave up the money that he had to pay for this, the entire land of Israel was blessed. And this plague went away. And so I want to leave you with this as we begin to close and as we start as an invitation. I want to leave you with this idea that when we give something up for the Lord, whether it's our lives, whether it's a time, whether it's a money thing, whether it's whatever it is in your life, whether it's whatever it is, it will be blessed. David was blessed. Abraham was blessed. I mean, to look at that video and see Brandon and Phil Wickham, I can't even imagine standing on that stage and seeing all those hands get lifted up. That's a revival. And Jonah didn't, we talked about Jonah at the very beginning. Jonah didn't want to go. He later on, you know, he eventually went. He started the greatest revival in human history. God bless that from Jonah. Jesus Christ came, a sinless man, was tortured, was hated on, died on the cross for your sins, and look where he's at now. The Lord will bless your efforts. The Lord will bless your heart because he wants your heart. And it all starts with the sacrifice to trust him. And then you move on. And it starts a sacrifice with time to get a relationship with him, whether it's in prayer, reading the Bible. When Christians, if every Christian was in the Bible today, actively in the Word of God today, that world would be in the Word of God tomorrow. I want you to think about that. And finally, if you haven't come to that spot where you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if you haven't sacrificed your life, given up your life to follow him, to trust in him, I want to give you that time this morning. The love of God is real. You can see it around these rooms. The love that you have for people, it's real. And God's love is so out of this world, I can't even begin to describe it. The only thing I can describe it is called agape love, and that's a godly love. And when a God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins, you should think about that love. If you're a parent, if you're a father, if you're a dad, if you're a mother, if you're a mom, whatever, would you send your son, your daughter, whatever, to die on the cross, to sacrifice your kid, just like Abraham, just like God, just like, would you sacrifice, would you make that sacrifice for others? I mean, that's a relationship. God formed each and every single one of us in his perfect image. So he would have the best life for you. He would have the best plan for you. And he would want a relationship with you.